From golf tips from the pro.
I told you I'm going to give you the best putting tip of your life. I'm not lying to you.
To course reviews from the general.
I'm telling you, the best greens I've played on, I gave it a 5.0.
ESPN Cleveland has you covered all golf season. Live inside the Universal Windows Direct Studios on the East Bank of the Flats. This is Tee It Up on 850 ESPN Cleveland and the Land on Demand. Here are your hosts, Jimmy Hanlon and Tony Grossi.
Happy 4th of July. You're here on Tee It Up, Jimmy Hanlon, Tony Grossi. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful week of golf weather. Gross, we're going to talk a little bit about the former Longaberger Golf Club, which is now called the Virtues. And you made a little visit there this week.
That's right. Played
a little bit of golf on your Grossi General Tour, which is better than most tour players' tours.
Continuing our road trip, our one-tank trips, as Neil Zurker used to call them for – that goes way back for Channel 8. But the Virtues, first time ever, a great experience. We'll review that and talk about that later in the show.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And I've got some great stuff for the show. I haven't even talked to you about it. I wanted to save it this week. But I played in a Ronald McDonald House Pro-Am this week, which is, even though I've been fortunate enough in my life to meet a lot of great people, a lot of great athletes, those types of things, at Mayfield Country Club to benefit the Ronald McDonald House, they bring in about a dozen tour players, and then they have PGA club professionals there also. And so you play nine holes with a club professional and nine holes with a touring professional. And so
what course?
At Mayfield Country Club.
Mayfield, okay.
Mayfield Country Club, yeah. And they raise so much money for Ronald McDonald House. And this group of people, Andy McCartney is a friend, became a friend of mine through this event, and they do such a nice job. We actually had a dinner afterwards. It's the Mike Clegg is Mike Clegg actually started this event, I think, close to 40 years ago, Tone. And they raise hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's the main fundraiser.
I think I've played in it.
Have you played in it? Yeah, for so
long time ago.
So golf pros that were there this week, like my pro that we switched off with was Taylor Pendrith, that went to Penn State, and Mackenzie Hughes from Penn State was there. But Billy Hurley was there. How about this one, though? Dickie Pride was there. He's their main guy. Dickie has been involved with them. Dickie's bag is a Ronald McDonald House bag. They sponsor him. And he won on the Champions Tour Sunday and had to be at Mayfield Country Club on Monday. Yeah. He beat Padraig Harrington in a playoff on Sunday.
Good for him.
We'll have to get Dickie on the show. Dickie would come on anytime as long as he's, up and at him and out of bed. But he's a great personality. But I will tell you the highlight of 2026 for me, Tony, which, I've had a good 2026. There's a lot of highlights, right? But I will tell you the highlight for 2026. We got done playing, and we went and we sat in everybody was just having some food and hors d'oeuvres. And so there was a little back room where they were going to do this whole event where they talked to tour pros and stuff. And I saw a couple guys sitting over there and didn't recognize them. I just went over, sat at the table. I just wanted to have an Arnold Palmer and eat my little snack and get ready to wait for the presentation. And all of a sudden, Billy Andre sits down and Ernie Els sits down, right? And then Dickie Pride comes over and sits there also. And Dickie says, hey, Billy, want to introduce you. Here's Jimmy Hanlon. He's, been with the event forever. He's a good guy. Ernie, blah, blah, blah. And Ernie Els goes, I know Jimmy Hanlon. I watch his show all the time. You don't think I know who Jimmy Hanlon is? I'm like, that made my whole year right there.
That'll
like,
do it.
And I sat there and I talked to Ernie for 45 minutes, and he instantly went up the ladder to one of my top players that I've ever been around in my entire life. What a wonderful human being.
You have to touch base when he's here for the colleague.
Yeah. I'll see him at the colleague for sure. Yeah. We're actually doing an event with John Daly the day after the colleague too. So I think Ken Duke and John Daly are going to do this event with us. At the Lake Club, we're going to shoot a show. Natalie's coming in town. But to sit there for 45 minutes with Ernie Els, and just, he's so laid back. He's just like his
big
golf swing.
Isn't
the big easy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so laid back. And he's just a great human. And he has a son with autism. And, he raises a lot of money for that. I think he has a Champions Tour event that's his event that they raise a bunch
so
of money
cool.
for autism. And
we
just
need,
a good person.
We need someone to shout out, Tee It Up.
Yeah,
next. You know,
that's exactly
that would be a
right. Yeah,
double header, to, twin well, bill.
Unfortunately, they got to live in Ohio to hear. Well, no, they could hear us on demand. Yeah, there's on the app. Demand. What am I talking about?
We span the globe.
Yeah, we do span the globe. Yeah, what am I thinking?
That's a cool story.
Yeah,
man.
So
what,
great.
What
story.
A thrill.
Oh, it was a great.
Good
thrill.
Thing you were sitting down.
Yeah, I know. I was like, whoa. I kind of thought he was joking at first, and he's like, no, I watch it. And he made some comments, some fun comments and stuff, and we enjoyed, I think he knows Natalie a little bit, but we enjoyed the, enjoyed our time there for sure. And, you know, kudos again to them, that the Ronald McDonald House and the money they raise at this event to, you know, I mean, Cleveland is, we know hospitals and mm-hmm. what they do is insane. And for them to have this facility and be able to keep it up, and this event raises a lot of money to keep it going. So it's pretty cool.
It's pretty 40 cool. plus years, you know, they're doing something right.
Really good. So, but listen to this. So the thing that they do, that's my favorite part, it's not the golf. It's not, I mean, you get to meet great people. My, the guys that I played with, we played with two foursomes and then we switched. So Taylor played nine holes with four guys and I played nine holes with four guys. And then we flipped after mm-hmm. nine. And the guys that you meet, the people you meet in Cleveland, the guys that I played with, the one foursome I play with a lot all the time, I look so forward to seeing these guys, right? They're so much fun. I mean, I played not good, right? Like for me, I'm driving the ball a little crooked right now. And I figured out in the last week or so, because I don't play a lot of golf, and then I'll get streaky. Like I've played mm-hmm. like three times in the last like 6-7 days. And I'm driving it crooked. And I'm like, it's not fun to play golf when you drive it crooked, right? Like being in a fairway is so much better. Right. Yeah, yep. You know what I mean? Yep. Like yep. I remember, well, listen, this is, you know, Tony Grossi got a new driver last year. It changed his life.
Yeah. So much fun. My score's the same, but yeah. playing
for the fairway, right? Yeah. It's so much more.
Although at Mayfield, can you get in that much trouble?
Well, I did. I mean, I hit great shots on the par threes. I think I birdied two or three uh-huh. of the par threes. I was just hit my irons fine if I could get it in play. But the driver, I don't know. I got a little new move I'm working on. I might have to abandon it because I can't keep it. I can't. I love the feel of it. I love everything about it. But I just can't keep the driver in play right now. I don't know what it is. I'll either block it or I hook it, and neither of those are good.
Well, let me suggest someone named Brian Huff.
Yeah, Brian Huff's great with that.
He'll help you out with that.
Yeah, for sure.
You did me.
But I will tell you that one of the interesting thing is they do Dickie Pride interviews all the players. So, and he's not afraid to ask the tough question. It's a very small group, right? Okay. So they ask the tough question.
All off the record, of course.
Yeah, all off the record, right? That's on our record for ESPN teeing up, right?
You won't see it on the social media right after.
No.
Get our block party.
I don't see anybody with a phone there, but Jason Kokrak plays in this every year, who I think he's a great guy too. He's mm-hmm. amazing. I love him. He talked a little Liv, and it was fun to hear him talk Liv a little bit, you know, and he doesn't know. You know what he said? He goes, I know about as much as you guys know what's going on right now. He said he knows there is a plan moving forward, but that plan, I think, includes them getting funding, so they're going to have to find funding to keep it going. And they asked him, what are you going to do if it doesn't? You know, I don't know if you ever meet Jason Kokrak before?
No.
Very laid back.
Yeah, my son has seen him at
Lake Forest. So, Jason was talking, and this would be my guess because he's too like nice and he's not going to say this, but when they said, well, what's going to happen? What if you can't get back? What if you can't play? You know, and he said, well, I can go play the DP World Tour. I could do this. But at the end of the day, I could kind of see it in his face, and he's kind of like, I made a lot of money, right? Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really have to play golf anymore, right? I mean, that's what he kind of, I think he wanted to say.
And
he
wasn't even one of the top guys they went after.
No, he wasn't like a John Rahm of hundreds of millions, but I'm sure he made really good money. Jason's a really, really good player and hits it really, really far.
No doubt more money than he probably would have won on the PGA.
He lives in Hudson.
Right.
He used to live in, I think he lived in Lakewood.
He plays at Lake Forest.
Yeah, he's just always pleasant to me, always very nice. But that's not the story I was going to tell you. Then it gets to like Billy Hurley, I talked to a lot. Billy Hurley went to Navy, played on tour. Billy Andre. So Billy Andre is sitting there or talking, and he gets up a little bit and they start talking about Brian Rolopp's plan, right?
Mm-hmm. The scheduling.
They don't like it.
No.
They don't like it.
What the? They don't like being relegated.
Well, they actually a little opposite of that from a year to year thing. And I don't know this whole plan, right? One thing they don't like, and they talked about what you and I talked about with Taylor Pendrith and Mackenzie Hughes is there, is they talked about Canadian Open losing the and being a second tier event, and you know, so I guess what it is it's $20 million for the top tier events, and the Challenger Tour is $4 million. So there's a big difference in purses, right?
I'd say so.
And so they didn't like some of these smaller town events losing the event. They didn't like that. Secondly, is I guess 90 players will keep their card at the end of the year. There's only 30 spots to move up. So if you're in the top 90, you keep it. They think that's way too many. They think that so it's kind of opposite of being relegated, you know. But they didn't really talk much about being relegated in the middle of the season. So I'm not sure that that's actually going to happen. It's been talked about back and forth on.
Well, with 2 years to go, I mean, can't they tweak? They listen.
Oh, yeah,
to
they
the
got
play.
A lot of time.
They could tweak these rules and
What
do they want? Like instead of 90, 100?
They want less.
Oh, they want.
They think it should be 60.
Okay,
something like that.
So then
they think,
the 60 could be relegated.
Yeah. Then the next 60 could be
more
relegated.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they wanted more people to be. They thought it was too hard to get on. Once you get on, it's like you're taking care of all the guys. But they're also saying, what are you going to do with a guy like Jordan? And they're taking away all sponsors exemptions.
Oh.
So a guy like, you know, Ricky Fowler for the last couple of years played a lot of sponsors exemptions. Jordan Spieth playing bad, and they're like, okay, so we're not going to see Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler. They're going to play on a Challengers tour. Like, what's, you know, we'll see.
Dominate the Challenger Tour and get back.
Come back up, right?
You win three, you're automatically up?
Two in this, I think. Three now. Three now if you're on the Corn Ferry. But, all right, folks, we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the virtues. Tony's got a good interview with the golf professional there, Scott. And more to come on PGA Tour stuff and how it's changing. And it's a lot of fun. I love talking about it because I was right in the midst of it. Hey, don't forget the college championships coming up, too. In Cleveland at Firestone here in you know less than 2 weeks, which is going to be fun. Northfield Park Racino is your place for more rewards, more offers, and more fun. Join the new NP Rewards Club for free play, exclusive promotions, trips, cash, and more. Grab great food, drinks at the Overtime Grill and Bar, then catch live entertainment at Center Stage. All you got to do is go to northfieldparkracino.com today.
You're listening to Tee It Up on 850 ESPN Cleveland and the Land on Demand with Jimmy Hanlon and Tony Grossi.
Georgia. Tee It Up is presented by Northfield Park Racino. Visit Northfield Park Racino today. More rewards, more offers, more fun.
All right, Tony, so you visited the Virtues this week and had a great time. Got to talk with Scott Holmes, their golf professional there. And so I know you were happy.
I've heard so much about this course. Yeah. I was so happy to have the opportunity to play. The Virtues is in actually Nashport, Ohio. It's close to Newark. It's 2 hours from Cleveland. It's an hour east of Columbus. It's in that area close to Zanesville where all those hidden gems are. And so this fits right in with our tour this year. I was amazed at this acreage out there. Jimmy, this is, and Scott Holmes we'll talk about a little bit, but 600 acres piece of property. And the typical course, what is, how many acres?
You know, I would say 150 to 200, probably, maybe 220 max for a big piece of property. So 600 is insane. I think I told you earlier, they were building another 18 and they never went forward with it. I'll tell that story later, but yeah, it's a lot of property.
Yeah. Well, let's talk to Scott Holmes now, the PGA head professional, general manager of the Virtues Golf Club.
Let's welcome to the program now, Scott Holmes, the head PGA head professional and general manager of the Virtues. Scott, thanks so much for your hospitality. Tremendous time in that heat box that we played under. I got to ask you right off the bat, you got a ton of acres out there. How big is the property?
To the best of my knowledge, the property sits on about 600 acres. 240 of those are mowable acres. So our maintenance staff takes care of roughly 240 acres on a weekly basis.
Wow. It's a lot of maintenance, but you're doing a great job. It was in tremendous condition. How about giving me a little bit of history about the Virtues Golf Club?
So the Virtues started off almost 30 years ago. Dave Longaberger had a vision, and he built the place. And you know, the current owner, Thomas, bought it, I want to say, about 12 years ago now, year to date, and changed the name to the Virtues. And we're just, you know, my thing is we're just trying to live up to what Dave envisioned and what our current owner, what he wants. You know, it's kind of a combination of the two, of trying to do what, you know, the guy that set out for this place to be, and then, you know, what the current owner wants.
So you got to be happy about the way things are going.
We're getting there. You know, cart paths were a big thing that we needed out here. And we're redoing all the cart paths right now on the property, all 18 holes. We just finished up, a greenside bunker restoration, which was not the easiest of projects. I mean, it was a couple of years in the makings and the works, and that, you know, it started before I got here. We just finished that up a couple weeks ago. And then obviously right now, like, you were out here playing and you saw the cart pass being done. I mean, right. The front nine to the back nine are night and day.
Right.
And it's just, it's a process of trying to get, you know, how do you stay open, especially on a property like this where it's not the easiest of accessibility from hole 1 through 18. Nothing runs really parallel to each other.
You got that.
So how do you get people around a golf course without shutting down? You know, it's been kind of a challenge. It's been, you know, it's one of those, it's a fun challenge, but it's a challenge to get people around here without shutting down and without impacting play too much. I mean, less is more sometimes, but in this case, it's just been hard. And I know they're starting on the back nine next week on the cart pass, and I'm hoping that they have that wrapped up probably in about 10 days would be my guess.
It's a lot of asphalt for that course.
I don't want to know how much. it's roughly around 7 miles that we're paving.
Wow.
And it's a lot of asphalt, and it's, you know, it's not cheap. Yeah. But it makes it such a better product for you know, the guests when they come out.
Right. Well, Scott, describe the course to someone who's not played it before. How would you characterize it?
I characterize it kind of as it's a Parkland-style golf course, especially on the front. The back, you get into a little bit more of a links-ish type feel where you don't have the trees surrounding, especially once you get, you know, 12, 13, 14, 16. It's an interesting blend of holes. It's definitely, you know, in my opinion, it's a second shot golf course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, off the tee, it's not the most challenging of golf courses off the tee.
Yeah, a lot of room.
You can hit it in some bad spots off the tee, but it really is a second shot golf course. It's, if you miss greens in the wrong spots, you can have a very long day out here. I mean, a very long day. If you leave them in the right spots around these greens, it's actually a really manageable golf course.
Yeah.
You know, and it's long. I mean, we've added some new tee boxes this year too. We stretched the golf course out to 7,347 yards.
Wow.
if I remember right. And you know, we're just trying to get it to be more of a, you know, of a tournament course and bring in, you know, some tournaments out here, which, you know, for me, when I look at what, you know, Dave Longaberger did, I know, you know, they had the Shaw's Wonderful World of Golf out here. And from what I understand, you know, his dream was to try to have something out here in terms of a tournament or a tour event. And I would love to see that happen.
Okay.
But, you know, the golf course, you have to get the golf course to the point that it can withstand 4 days of, mm-hmm. you know, championship level play. You know, is the golf course going to hold up?
Well, you've had some amateur events there of note, have you not?
We've had a couple of college tournaments out here. I know Miami and Bowling Green have come down and had they have an intercollegiate here every year, and they're actually having that here again this August. And then, actually, in a couple weeks, we're hosting the Ohio Amateur out here.
Right.
So that'll be it'll be fun to see how the golf course holds up for that.
Excellent.
You know, I've talked to several players that have come out for practice rounds, and most of them have told me that they see single digits under par winning.
Wow. That's pretty good shooting on that course from the tips.
It is.
Scott, you also have some play-and-stay specials going on. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, we do. We have two villas here on property. Each villa can hold up to 16 players. They are, and inside of the villas, they're separated into actual rooms. So, you know, you can go, you can have a twosome come down and do a stay and play package up to 32 players we can accommodate. And, you know, we do all that in-house. Our stay and play coordinator, Denise, she does a wonderful job with that. And, you know, she puts a lot of time and effort into making sure that the guests that do come here, they get the experience that they should get. You know, and if the houses aren't booked, you know, we do work with other hotels and, around, you know, we'll have anywhere on weekends from 32 players to 120 on stay and play packages.
All right. Well, very good. Scott Holmes, head PGA professional, general manager of the Virtues. Thanks so much for your time and your hospitality. We had a great time there.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime, come back and see us.
All right, Tone, so good talk there with Scott Holmes. Looks like they've got a lot going on. I know they've had the MAC championship there before. Dottie Pepper played there in the what was it called? Shell's Wonderful World of Golf.
Yeah.
They did that a little bit. So they've had a lot of good events there. It's a great golf course. And you know, I know we're gonna do your rating here in a little bit. I'm going to give you one quick story. I'll make it. So I went there really early when it was open. I took 24 guys there. Coach Sidney Lowe. Remember Sid Lowe for the Cavs? And he's still coaching the NBA. He's up at Detroit now. Good friend of mine. I took him there, and he was – I don't want to say he was new to golf. He wasn't new to golf, but he's much better now than he was then. He was probably an 18 handicap. So that 18th hole that goes up the hill, the ball was so firm, it would roll back down. You could hit the drive, and it would come back down, right? So everybody – it was, we had 24 guys. No one made par because everybody's drive is going back down. Sidney chips it in for par, wins the only skin of the day. I think he wins, you know, probably $600-$700. And it's probably like $700-$800 back in those days. I think we all put in like $10 or $20, but whatever. But yeah, it was great. Sidney's smiling ear to ear, so happy. But hey, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about, we'll do your ratings and listen to you talk a little bit about what you thought about the Virtues.
Please allow. You're listening to Tee It Up on 850 ESPN Cleveland and the Land on Demand with Jimmy Hanlon and Tony Grossi.
Northfield Park Racino is your place for more rewards, more offers, and more fun. Join the new NP Rewards Club for free play, exclusive promotions, trips, cash, and more. Grab great food and drinks at Overtime Grill and Bar. Then catch live entertainment at Center Stage. Visit NorthfieldParkRacino.com today.
All right, here we go. Time for Tony Grossi to rate the Virtues. I still have a hard time not calling it Longaberger. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. So, Tony, I'll give you one more quick story. When Tammy Longaberger was the president of the Longaberger Company, I was at Quail Hollow for 2 years. My good friend Danny Ackerman, who is now at Ogilvy, but he was the golf pro at Longaberger for 20 years, went up to interview for the job as the director of golf, first ever director of golf there, and he got it. I went there and interviewed with Tammy Longaberger to be their first assistant or head pro or whatever the position was at the time, and was offered the job and went home and thought that I was going to go back there and take it. And that's when the people that were building Little Mountain came over and said, hey, don't leave. We want you to stay here, kind of a thing. So I was almost a Longaberger / Virtues golf pro.
You've got a story about every course
you
review.
I pretty much do. Isn't that crazy?
That's
so
good.
All right, so let's get this started.
Looking for the best places to golf in Ohio?
Four!
We got you covered. It's time to rate the course of the week.
All right, we're going to start out.
Condition,
Tony.
Well, you know, this is as good as a... It's a public course, and it's good condition as any private club I've been to, really, in every aspect. The fairways, tees, greens, the bunkers, the rough is manageable and well-kept. I have absolutely nothing to complain about. Even Cooper would grade this a 5.0 on condition.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, I agree with you. It's always in private club condition, Tony. Yep. And I think that that's one of the big draws to the Virtues is really condition. All right. What's next?
Playability.
Playability. All right. We play. There are five sets of tees here. Scott Holmes said that, you know, the tips go over 7,300. We played the white, my son and me, which was 6,532. I'm stretching it for me. Par 72. It's a 71.8 rating and a 132 slope. I'm telling you, these fairways are a mile wide. Yeah. I mean, my son, who could hit the ball 300 yards, he couldn't even get in trouble when he missed his drives. And like Scott Holmes said, it's the second shot which makes this course, which I love.
Yeah.
I love that. Rather than, you know, 250-yard carries off the tee and stuff like that. I got to tell you, we played, it was 93 degrees, 98 heat index this week. The day we played, there was not an inch of shade on this course.
Oh, I know.
Right? I mean, you got to go driving for miles to get to the trees to get under shade. So that was a challenge. We love that. It's like playing in the rain is a different challenge or the wind, you know.
Yep.
Lots of dog legs and huge greens. Jimmy, I had a putt over 100 feet.
Wow.
And I two-putted.
You did?
So I'm happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
Everything on the greens rolled good. Five par fours over 400 yards and one under 300 yards that tempted my son to tee it up and almost made it. So playability, it was very, very, very fun. 5.0.
Wow. 5.0 playability. I thought that you would go a little lower, not a knock on the Virtues. It's just, it's a difficult golf course.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like it is.
That's the one knock I hear from people is maybe fair. Like older people can't play it. You know what I mean? It's a little difficult.
I'm not there yet, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, you understand.
You know what it reminded me of a little bit? It reminded me a little bit of a blend of Sand Ridge and Greyhawk.
Yeah.
You know, where there's just huge fairways
out there,
and huge greens and welcome.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I just thought you might think it was a little difficult.
No, but no, not from the white tee, 6,500. And, you know, this time of year, the ball's rolling like crazy.
Yeah, all right, let's go to the next one.
Par threes.
Par threes. Here we go.
Four of them, 180 yards, 156, 162, and 167. So I love all those distances, you know, I love hitting irons, not woods, to par threes. Number nine, 156.
Yeah, great hole.
Downhill, over water. We had to play the back nine first because Scott said they're redoing the cart paths. So this was our 18th hole. And our match came down to this
hole. That hole.
Yeah.
Oh.
And once you know, I chunked it in the water. But then instead of dropping down in the drop area, I re-teed, hitting three off the tee. And scared the cup. Almost got the hardest par of all time, but didn't win the hole anyway. But that was the most memorable par three. And none of the others really caught my fancy. So I gave the par threes a 4.5.
So we've done pin shot there twice. The par three show that Tony Rizzo
had to do number nine, right?
We did nine the first time, and the wind was blowing. That was the first pin shot we ever did.
Really?
It was at the Virtues. On number nine, the wind was blowing. And this was back when no one knew what pin shot was. So we waited for golfers to pull up. We explained what it was and asked them if they wanted to play. It was a long day, Tone. Like, we couldn't get anybody to hit the green.
Nobody got the green.
No. But then we did it on the other side. We did it on a little downhill par three, and we had like two or three winners. We had a guy that won everything.
Yeah.
Driver.
Yeah, there's a nice downhiller.
Downhiller. Yeah. So it is hosted to pin shot. So that means the par three's got to be pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, coming up next.
Amenities.
Amenities. Let's go, Tone. What do you think?
Oh, well, very good.
Clubhouse great, huh?
Oh, gigantic clubhouse. Yeah. Very good range.
Good range.
With a short game area and an excellent putting green. The cart paths are being repaved. The back nine, or the front nine is completely done. Very expansive pro shop.
Yeah,
you could get
really
anything
nice
in there with the Virtues logo.
Yep.
Now, one thing I will say, that I think the carts need the GPS for this course.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not going to play this like two times. You'll never know all the nuances of this course. And although we had, you know, the rangefinder and I used my US Gin app on the course, I think they could use GPS. Which is, you know, it's a big ticket
item.
Right?
Maybe after the cart pass are done, they'll go down there.
Yeah, right. And of course, they got these great stay and play packages, which is a great amenity because you could stay there and you could play all those courses we've been doing.
Yeah.
You know, like Eagle Sticks, Apple Valley, and Denison, the Donald Ross course. So, anyway.
I'm going to add to the amenities the part that you missed. They actually have cabins you can stay right on site there.
Right.
At the Virtues.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
I've stayed there before we've done the show. They're really nice.
And I should say, excellent restaurant, the Overlook restaurant, had a complete dinner afterwards. My amenities grade was 4.75.
Yeah, good stop. All right, let's go to next.
Value,
Tone. What do you got?
Well, you know, this is an upscale public course.
Right.
And so you're not going to, you know, this is a, this price ranges from $90 on the weekdays to $140 on the weekends. They have a nice senior rate of $65, which is terrific for this course. And some replay rates that if you want, you know, if you're going to go down there, you might want to play it more than once. Yeah. And like I said, the best thing is to combine this course with some of the other outstanding courses in the area. So overall, I gave the grade of for value of 4.0.
Yep. It's tough when you talk upscale golf courses, like you said, because it's not cheap.
No, but
it's worth the money you're spending.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself. Yeah. I mean, exactly, this
is an unforgettable experience to play this course, and you'll want to go back to. But again, I think the best value is to combine it with a stay and play package.
Go play Eagle Sticks. Yeah. A lot of Eagle Sticks and that together. Right, the nine stars has always been a
overall
huge,
terrific experience.
Yeah.
And I heard so much about it, and it lived up to everything I heard.
Yeah, I'm glad you got over there to play. I mean, it's a really fun. It's rated one of the top 2 to 3 public golf courses in Ohio.
And also in the top 100 in America by Golf Digest.
Yeah.
I think currently it's number 65 out of the top 100 public courses.
Yeah, well-deserved.
And always one or two or three in state of Ohio.
Yeah. It's always good. I've shot a lot of shows there. I've played a lot there. I've been there a lot, and it's held it up. I told you the story offline. I'll tell everybody online right now. I don't know that it's on right now. I don't know if you everybody remembers this as golfers, but when Longenberger, now the Virtues, first opened, it was over $100, which was unheard of in Ohio for public golf, right? I mean, it just was. I think it was $120, $125. But you got a towel. And it was a different towel every year. So if you would have went, did you have lunch in that area?
Yeah.
So they had the towels around, unless they took them down, around the grill room there. They were all up top. So every year, and they had the year on them.
I wondered. I thought those were just banners, but they were towels.
They were towels. So they gave that towel away every year. If you played golf, you got a towel.
It's like a memento.
Right, like a memento. And I told Tony they used to sell those towels on eBay because you could not buy one of those towels in their pro shop. You had to play there to get a towel.
Wow.
Right? So.
Okay. So you're talking like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And you said 120.
More. Yeah.
Okay, now it's 140a week. So.
Yeah. Hasn't even gone up very much.
That's
right?
Not much. Yeah.
No.
But the rate of inflation and all that goes into maintaining 600 acres. My gosh.
Yeah. Right. For sure. And there was another 18 going up. It was going to be built when the Longenberger company, they had it was designed and it was cut out of the woods a little bit. And then that's when the recession hit in the country struggling, and Longenberger, the basket company, had to start laying off employees. So Mr. Longenberger did not want to have the reputation of, hey, I'm laying off employees, but I'm building a golf course. Even though it would have been successful because you couldn't even get on the first one, right? And Arthur Hills designed Longenberger, and I believe he was doing the second golf course also. It was either him or the Palmer Group. I'm not sure.
The land is still there.
It's still there if anybody wants. Man, I'll tell you what, it's a pretty cool piece of property, too.
It sure is.
A little more expensive to build a golf course in 2026 than it was in 1998, though.
So I guess.
It's a little tough, but... All right, folks, when we come back, we are going to talk a little more golf. We'll finish up with the Virtues with Tony, talk a little more PGA Tour and some of my experience over there at the Ronald McDonald House. Tee It Up is presented to you by Northfield Park Racino. Visit Northfield Park Racino today. More rewards, more often, or more offers, more fun.
You're listening to Tee It Up on 850 ESPN Cleveland and the Land on Demand with Jimmy Hanlon and Tony Grossi.
All right, welcome back to Tee It Up. Jimmy Hanlon, Tony Grossi. So overall experience, Virtues, great.
Yep.
In your world. You're it. So are you just trying to build your fan base in like Zanesville, Newark area? Is that what you're doing now?
Well, you know what? You led me into discovering that area.
Yeah.
There's some wonderful courses in. And they're all drive, you know, 2 hour drive. And the Virtues is easy. You just, you know, go down 77 to Route 36, and it's a straight shot from there.
Yeah.
Anytime you can avoid 71, I think you take that option.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's been really enjoyable. You know, one of my things is I love playing a course for the first time.
Yeah.
And even if they didn't rate as high as the Virtues, I'd enjoy it. But these are some gems in the middle of our state.
Yeah, you've had some good ones right now. Now, have you been to Ogilvy?
I have not.
Oh, you got to go to Hobie. That's an easy one right there. I don't know if you have time between now. I mean, your tour is really filled up. I've got two rounds of golf booked with you, and we haven't even played golf. You and I are going to Sand Ridge, and if we can ever get Riz out there, we're supposed to play Lakewood with Tom Waiterich there, the golf professional there.
Definitely looking forward to
the
that.
The new Lakewood. Yeah. I can't wait to play that. And I haven't played Sand Ridge in probably 5 or 6 years, so I'm looking forward to playing there. And you and I haven't played together yet this year.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
You better bring those glasses, though, because the way I'm hitting this driver right now, we're going to be looking for a lot of golf balls, man. I don't know where this thing's going. I couldn't hit that thing between, we look out here over the river. I don't think I could keep it between the two bridges right now. It's going so crooked. So,
well, you're still putting for birdies.
I made a few birdies now. Yeah. I mean, par threes are good for me right now. My iron game's good, but the rest of it's going a little crooked. So I did play Sharon Golf Club this week, which to me is one of my favorites in Ohio. But those fairways are big. It's a new redesign, and I couldn't even keep it in there this week. But we're going to get it figured out before we go to Sand Ridge, Tone.
I'm sure you will.
Because driving it in that rough at Sand Ridge is not fun. It's not good. And on top of playing Lakewood and Muirfield with you, or Sand Ridge with you, I've got about 3 trips to Muirfield in the next six weeks, which I'm going to grab Anthony.
I got a great caddy for you.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait to hang out with him there. The problem is, better just make sure he doesn't hang out with us at night, too. Of course, it should be the other way around. Maybe I shouldn't hang out with him at night afterwards. Right?
Yeah, I would say you better keep your distance from that.
I told you, so we were talking a little bit offline, before about pet peeves on the golf course.
I got many of them.
Many have. Well, I don't know, because you used to have music, and now music's not a pet peeve.
Right.
But I'm interested. I have a few, but not many. I maybe that's why I don't focus. That's why I can't hit it a fairway. But
well, I think anybody who's an avid golfer like me and you, pace of play,
it
can destroy a round.
Yeah,
I would rather play a subpar course without pace of play problems than playing a high class course where you're just waiting on every shot.
Yeah,
and I don't understand people. Do not ready golf. All right, we're not in a tournament, right?
Yeah.
When there are 4 guys in front of me or 4 players, that nobody's swinging a club.
Yeah.
And you're just standing there waiting for them to do something.
Yeah.
And the same thing on the green. So that is my biggest pet peeve: is pace of play.
I always said to myself, Tone, literally, I think this as I'm driving around. So when I'm in the evenings, little Jake and I, we just drive around, right? We just get in the cart. You've seen us out there.
Yep.
I throw a ball on the ground, he hits it, and we pick it up, and we just go somewhere else, right?
You see a lot of stuff going on.
I see a lot, right? So I've always thought to myself, if I ever stopped doing radio and TV and just kind of semi, I don't want to say retired, but only ran the golf course and was around the golf course, I think I would go around and teach people how to play faster. Because think about this. In all of your, how many years you've been playing golf, which is a lot.
50 plus.
Yeah. Has anybody ever actually taught you how to, you and your group, not just you individually, how to play faster? Probably not, right?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
My dad taught me.
He did.
And I taught my son.
Yeah.
And I just assumed
everybody.
Every dad does that.
And they don't.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
Especially if you don't know the proper etiquette.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, here's the thing, and everybody should listen to this. Pace of play problems do not come from when you're standing over the ball. Pace of play problems don't come from when you lose a ball. Yes, you can get a little behind, but you can easily catch back up. Pace of play problems happen because Tony and I are in the same cart, and we pull up to Tony's ball, and I'm sitting in the cart, and I'm waiting for Tony to hit, and then Tony hits, and he cleans his club, and he puts it in, and then we drive over 8 yards to my ball. Right?
Yeah.
I should have already been out of my cart.
Exactly.
Had my club in my hand. As soon as you fire it, within 20 seconds, I should be hitting my next shot. And you should be moving along that way. And that's what people don't do. They waste time in between each other's shots. That's where pace of play problems come about. It's not standing over the ball. It's not, I know a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, he was looking at that putt like he was on tour and it was taking forever. That's not the problem. Yeah. If he was ready to hit when it was his turn, that's okay.
Well, here's another one of mine, and it connects to pace of play. It's excessive practice swings.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we are. We're playing in 98 degree heat index yesterday, and we're following a group, and the 18th hole over every shot, 2 practice swings. I mean, by then you've swung the club almost 100 times. All right. If you don't have it by then,
yeah.
Okay. That's a big pain in my side, too.
But again, you wouldn't even have noticed that if he was taking those practice swings while his other guy was hitting.
Yeah.
But if you wait until it's your turn to take those practice swings, takes forever.
The other thing that bothers me is, of course, you know, sitting on the tee talking.
Yeah.
You know, when there's nobody in front of you.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and the starters always tell you this at several courses, don't worry about the group behind you. Worry about the group in front of you.
That's a great line.
If you don't see anybody in front of you, you're falling behind as a group.
Yep.
Right?
Or no doubt.
And that it just destroys the rhythm. And you know me, I like to walk and think about my next shot and bury the last shot. And I get to my ball and I'm standing in the fairway waiting.
Yeah.
To watch a guy swing three times on the 16th or 17th hole.
Yeah.
So boy, I had to get this off my chest because I can't stand it. And I've talked about this before. We've played, you know, I like playing Twilight Golf and play behind these leagues. And these leagues are the biggest.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
Leagues are the worst. Leagues are
violators of pace of play.
And most of the time, league people that play, they're playing every week. They're decent players.
It's their social night out. I get it, but you could socialize after on the 19th hole.
Yeah, play. Yeah. Hit the ball and play, right?
So, oh, that really ticks me off.
So I
don't have to worry about it. You don't play on public courses like I do.
Well, yeah, sure I do. I mean, I play out at little. Well, my problem is the pace of play is my problem, right? So when I see pace of play problems, when I look out my house and I see three groups on number 60 or I see number 15 across the fairway and there's three groups waiting or whatever, it drives me crazy. And it's you know what stinks is, let's say at a really good day at Little Mountain, we'll do 200 rounds of golf, let's say, right?
Wow.
4 to 8 of those people are the ones that cause any pace of play problems. It's not everybody.
No.
Right? But it's usually one or two groups.
It causes the whole backlog.
And I tell my staff, if you wait until you don't catch them playing slow until they're on 10, 11, or 12, you're done. Your day's over. They've already messed up your golf course as much as they're going to mess. You got to catch it early, and you got to stay on them.
So do you bother helping pace of play when you're out there riding around with Jake?
Oh, I don't. I bother my staff.
Okay.
I don't, you know, I got
to. You won't
gotta
go up to the members and say, hey, buddy.
Well, especially with Jake in the car with me, but also, you know, I'm the good guy. I don't have to be the bad guy. Right? I've been in this business too long to have to be the bad guy, right?
You're the good sheriff.
So, but I call them and they get it, right?
Good for you.
And then I'm telling you, my pro Andrew, he laughs all the time because people don't believe us. I'll tell him, he'll be at home and he'll look on the GPS and he'll send messages. And I'll be like, hey, there's a hole between 6 and 8. There's no one there. Send him a message. Tell
good
him to
for
go.
You.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, we battle pace of play every day. It's a battle.
And you know what? Violators of pace of play usually get so upset when they're told you're playing too slow.
Yeah.
You know? That they have no awareness of. That's a key part of etiquette too.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go into fixing the greens and all that, but, that really makes the experience unenjoyable for those behind you.
Yeah, I agree, and it's part of the golf course's responsibility. In my personal opinion, I don't think a lot of them think that, but it is. It's your responsibility. If someone's paying me, I want to do my best to keep play moving.
You know the course Seminole.
Yeah,
where is that?
Florida, okay, Tallahassee.
My son was telling me he heard the story that at Seminole. You have a 3-hour pace of play, and if you fall below that, you get kicked off the course.
Yeah.
That's how strong they.
Well, I know, like Pepper. It. There's a lot of courses in Northeast Iowa, private places. If you play more than, 3.5, your members are going to yell at you in the grill room, right? They're going to say something to you. Yeah, so
you get kicked right
that's
off.
That's just
the
what seminal. They expect, right? Yeah, and the members understand that before they go out, and they understand this is what it is.
And it's not rushing. It's not hurrying up. People feel
it's just
rushed.
Paying attention.
Yes.
Just paying attention.
Yes.
Is all it is. And listen, you know, we do 26,000 18-hole rounds at Little Mountain a year, and we're going to make a few people mad because we're going to tell you that either you got to speed up or you got to skip a hole. And we don't do it all the time. We'll warn you at least twice, maybe three times. But we get past three times we're warning you, you're going to have to pick it up.
Well, you should.
Yeah. And it stinks because people are paying anywhere from, you know, anywhere from $60 to $120 to play, you know, and you don't want to ruin their experience because they paid money also, but they didn't pay money to ruin people's experiences behind them. Yeah. So
and,
it's a battle.
Most violators are just unaware.
unaware
that they're supposed to
play.
That's
why they're slow
pace.
In the first place, yeah. Because they're unaware.
Yeah.
But so is that your only pet peeve?
Oh no, that's number one.
Yeah,
you don't want me. I don't think we have enough time to go into my. I've done a whole show on pet peeves before, but that's number one. And I just had to get it off my chest.
Yeah.
My son and I were talking about it, and that's when he brought up the seminal rule. So, 3 hours is pretty quick, but you should play middle of the week, 4 hours.
4 hours, no more max 4 hours, right?
And looking for balls. I mean, you got to set a time limit.
Give it up.
Come on, I'll give you a ball if you're behind me. I yelled out yesterday, I got a ball if you want it.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, 10 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I think the rule on tour now, I think it's 3. It used to be 5. I think they've lowered to 3. So you only got 3 minutes to find a golf ball. If you don't find a golf ball, I mean,
throw one down. Don't take a stroke if you're worried about that.
Yeah. If you're all worried about that make that happen. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, later in the year, I want to talk about handicap and the handicap system. There's some changes that I wasn't aware of, that cap people that maybe are sandbaggers and stuff. That, okay. It's called a hard cap now where you can't move so much in a year anymore, where handicap can't move so much. So we'll talk about that maybe in future shows, because I'm really interested. It was really interesting to me because it's something that's somewhat new and I didn't know a lot about it. So pretty awesome. So
very good.
Great show, man. Loved. Thanks to the Virtues. Thanks for going out there and rating it. Looking forward to going out there and playing a little golf with you in the next.
Absolutely.
Is that next? Yeah, that's next Friday, right? The 10th is when we're playing.
Sand Ridge.
I think it's Sand Ridge.
Yeah. So worry about straightening out your driver.
I will.
After that.
No. I'm going to get that driver figured out, or I won't be hitting it at Sand Ridge. But awesome stuff. Good. Thanks to Northfield Park Racino for hanging in there and being our title sponsor. Love having them. And thanks to all you for listening to us this Saturday morning. We'll be back next week, 9 a.m. Talk a little golf right here with Jimmy Hanlon, Tony Grissa. You're listening to Tee It Up.
Happy 4th of July.